This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back across. Now Dylan Cousins down on the ice. Darlene, high slot, takes a shot, scores! I don't know if that was tipped. It may have been Zucker. By Zucker, who gets one for the Buffalo Sabres, and it's a 1-0 lead here in the third period.
Ah, the roller coaster season that is the Buffalo Sabres continues on. Yesterday was a little bit more of a better outcome for the Sabres. A 1-0 win over the Los Angeles Kings after a game on Saturday that I just tried to completely wipe clean of my memory because it was, quite honestly, Paul, one of the worst games I'd seen the Sabres play in quite a few years on Saturday in Philadelphia. But they bounced back nicely yesterday.
Wow, the worst game. No, I don't even think it's in the top 10.
Really?
I've seen some pretty bad hockey.
I mean, there has been some pretty bad hockey. I was talking with one of our engineers, Tom Maddie. I can't remember if it was Monday or Tuesday or whatnot, but I think the last game that I could say was just as bad as the game that took place Saturday night was the Sabres game against the Stars when they left Eric Comrie in for all 10 goals that the Dallas Stars scored against Buffalo. That was very bad. This one was just... Man, I was watching the first, second period, and I just could not stop shaking my head and just closing my eyes and being like, make this stop. Just let this be over with.
Yeah, and they didn't win a lot of battles against Philadelphia. And the stupid thing was, you know, they got their first penalty or power play. Philadelphia got their first penalty in the second period. It's 2-0 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Sabres' power play is red hot. So if you don't take the power play away by taking a penalty yourself, Rasmus Dahlin, about 20 seconds into it, maybe you have a chance to make it 2-1. Maybe that can change the game around a little bit, you know, and you get a little life in you. And who knows what happens after that. Okay, that happens. So a little bit later in the second period, happens again. You get a power play. Well, it's still 2-0. Maybe, again, you can score a goal here, change the momentum of the game, and get yourselves going and see what happens. Now, Rasmus Dahlin takes another penalty, takes the power play away. By the time he scores a power play goal, it's 4-0, and it's too late. You know, so even though they weren't playing well, they had chances to get back into that game and just took the chance away from themselves by taking the penalties, which didn't stop last night. The difference was... they killed penalties very, very well last night.
And the Kings oftentimes find themselves almost kind of in a Sabres situation where they were trying to overpass and trying to pass the puck into the net like Don Granato used to say, and I agreed with him wholeheartedly. Yesterday was a nice kind of change of pace, though. It seemed that the Sabres were really kind of on their game from the start. They had a rough second period because of those penalties that you mentioned, mm-hmm. Paul, but then in the third period, they got that early power play goal courtesy of Jason Zucker, who went right to the net. It was just everything that they did yesterday seemed like they really did truly deserve to win that game despite only getting a 1-0 victory.
Well, both teams got good goaltending, and you're right. They only had three shots in the second period because all they did is kill penalties. It started at the very end of the first period, which leaked into the second period, that particular penalty. And then they took three more. So that's four power plays you handed the Kings between 8:35 of the first period and 6:12 of the second period. And then you gave them a fifth power play in the third period. But, you know, the goaltending was great by both teams in that game. And what I liked about the Sabres is they remained patient. They didn't get, oh, come on, we want to try to get up ice and try to break this, what the Kings are doing. They understood what the Kings were going to do. Lindy Ruff had described it in the pregame that they're going to be tighter defensively, and they were. Now, Buffalo did get some scoring chances in the first period that Riddick stopped them on. Same thing at the other end. Lukanen was very good at the other end. But still, it was a tight game. But Buffalo remained patient with it. They didn't start making turnovers and start making goofy plays because they're getting antsy that they want to get up ice and all that. They just played the game. I don't think they were unhappy. It was 0-0 at the end of two periods.
Right.
And they hadn't given up. They gave up some good scoring chances, but it wasn't. They weren't turning the puck over a lot. Let's put it that way. The turnovers were down. They were competing well. They were winning battles, and just very all right. Let's just play this out. And sure enough, just like they did when it was 0-0. It was a couple of years ago in Buffalo. It was 0-0, and the Kings were trying to play the neutral zone and just cut everything off. And the Sabres scored early in the third period. Then they scored again, and the Kings had to come out of it. And they won, I think it was 4-0 in that game. And same thing. I mean, the Sabres got the goal that you talked about in the beginning of the third period to take the lead. And even when the guys got all stuck on the ice because they couldn't clear the puck on the 6-on-5, there was still desperation out there. That's what I liked, what I saw. Cousins blocked two shots. Tuck and Joki Haru both blocked a shot. I mean, Tuck played 3 minutes and 22 seconds there. The least amount played by the five guys on the ice was Cousins at 2:44. But they kept the Kings to the outside. The Kings got two scoring chances that whole time. One, Byfield broke his stick as the puck came across. And he couldn't get a stick on it. That wasn't the greatest pass in the world anyway. It was more towards his skates than his stick. But still, he broke his stick. And Kempe had a one-timer right as time, about the time was warning on, maybe 5 seconds left or so when he got the one-timer. Other than that, the Sabres blocked shots. They kept the puck to the outside. I saw Kopitar over on that left flank. All he did is play catch with Kempe at the point because they couldn't penetrate inside the Sabres box that they had made with their guys. They're saying, all right, you're not going to get in the slot area, which, by the way, I think the Sabres are much better this year at. I mean, all I can think of is guys like Bergeron sitting in the slot all by themselves.
Yeah.
Game after game after game. He must have scored 4 goals from there, standing there by himself.
Yeah.
I think overall they've done a much better job of taking away that slot area with Lindy Ruff, but that's what they did in the 6-on-5. And the Kings had trouble penetrating through. Buffalo had 5 opportunities that I counted to clear the zone. But you know what? If you've never been out in intense hockey for 3 minutes and 22 seconds, you might think it's easy to clear the zone, but your mind is mush. Your muscles are mush.
You're scrambling, yeah.
You're scrambling, you know. So, yeah, they had 5 opportunities to get it out, but they still, I thought, played desperate hockey, even though they couldn't get the puck out.
By the way, if you're tuning in and you were expecting to hear Brian Duff and Marty Baron, they're off for the next couple of days. It's Brayton Wilson here, Paul Hamilton joining me as well for the next hour of time. We're going to talk some hockey here with you at 803-0550 is the number. The Sabres getting a big win yesterday over the Kings to snap their one-game drought. A second time, Paul, that they've been able to snap their one-game losing streak to secure another victory. Now it's time to start building up some wins, but the Sabres certainly getting a decent performance, especially in that from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. We'll talk plenty more of that over the course of this hour. Coming up at 12:30 this afternoon, we'll be joined by future Sabres Hall of Famer Rob Ray. He'll be joining us from sunny, I'm assuming it's sunny in California, especially probably where they are in Anaheim. So he'll join us at 12:30. And then, of course, we'll welcome your phone calls at 803-0550.
Isn't that food critic Rob Ray? I mean, I saw he was In-N-Out Burger, which I've never been to.
Okay.
I have been with him. From time to time, we used to like to go to places we'd see on TV,
right?
Like the thing, Diners, Dives, whatever
yeah.
the show is called.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Guy Fieri's
thank
TV
you,
show,
thank
yeah.
You. That and some other ones. And we wound up at Slater's 50-50, I believe it's called, in Anaheim.
Hmm.
And that is 50% ground beef and 50% ground bacon. It
Ooh.
Is probably the worst thing for me that I have ever eaten in my life. But it was, like, amazing.
Yeah.
And Rob had, like, a triple and was still hungry.
Jeez.
And it was like, you're kidding, right?
Well,
I couldn't even finish. And that was before I had lost weight. I was probably at my heaviest then. And I couldn't even finish the one burger. So we'll have to see how Rob did at the In-N-Out Burger. And he was banging on the drums. Him and Dan were on Sunset Strip all
yeah.
over the place. I mean, so we'll have the food critic Rob Ray on.
You know, Paul, it was funny because normally oftentimes you only see like that show, unless you're a super big enthusiast, you'll usually see that in like the waiting rooms of your doctor's office or something like that, where it's playing on the TV there just randomly. My wife and I were coming back from Indianapolis about a month and a half ago, and we just happened to stumble upon this one barbecue place, and they said, oh, hey, it's featured in Diners and, you know, whatever with Guy Fieri. And I'm like, oh, it's actually like the first time I'd actually stopped anywhere where that was the case with him. Fairly decent place. It's just funny that you made mention of that just because, you know, I know the show and I know of Guy Fieri. I just never took the time to really ever watch anything like that. So,
yeah, the another place we went to was in Vegas called the Heart Attack Grill. And if you weighed more than 200 some odd pounds, your meal was free. They could weigh you on the way in. The waitresses were dressed as nurses. If you ordered wine, it came in an IV bag.
Wow.
And Rob had a milkshake, which he thought had a piece of white chocolate on the top.
Oh.
And so he bites into it, and he makes this weird face and spits it out. It was a pat of butter.
Oh, God. Oh. Like, listen, I've tried deep-fried butter before at, like, the fair, which, you know, is surprisingly good. But, yeah, just to take a huge bite out of a stick of butter there, that's...
Oh, and they put, like, hospital gowns on you as you come in, and it's just crazy. And if you don't finish your food, which is disgustingly large, you can get an 8-patty burger in there. 8 patties. If you don't finish your meal, you get paddled by the waitress.
Oh, boy.
She takes a wooden paddle, bends you over. And, of course, I had no shot at all at finishing. That was after I had started, you know, got a smaller stomach and everything. And I quickly threw my rest of my food out. And she goes, there's no way you could have eaten that fast. And Rob's getting all excited that I was going to get paddled. And somehow or another I got out. Because other people did. Somehow or another I got out of there without being paddled. But he was so that was another
that's phenomenal
great dining experience that we had to experience together too.
Oh man, I mean we could talk about dining experiences all day, Paul, if you want, but maybe that's for another show, maybe during the off season or something like that when we got some downtime. 803-0551 888-550-2550 is the number if you want to join us here. Sabres beating the Kings 1-0 last night. Paul and I are recapping the game here for a little bit, but I do want to get into a discussion, Paul, a little bit later that I put it out on Twitter, and we'll ask Rob of it as well, just with some surprising elements of this season. But before we do that, I do want to get your thoughts on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, just because you said it on Twitter. But last night, I mean, there was no denying that Luukkonen was on top of his game. He stood tall in net. He saw pucks that were coming his way. He was just calm, cool, poised in the net. And I've got the lovely heat map chart up here, Paul. And it is just blazing red right in front of the net and in that crease area right in front of Lukanen and with the Kings. And he did not blink at all last night, which I think is absolutely impressive with the way that he has performed, not just in this game, but as you've pointed out, over the last several stretch of games that he's played.
Yeah, he had, one of the reasons that Levi went down is because Lukanen played 9 out of 10 games. And that's what he has to do to be good. The back and forth that they started the season didn't work for him. He wasn't what he was last year. He was okay. He wasn't, like, awful. But he wasn't what he was last year. And I thought Levi handled it okay, but he didn't. And I think it's a good problem to have, but I think the problem they're going to find is they have two young goalies that are only going to be good if they play a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And in the NHL, like, one can play a lot in the AHL and the other can play a lot in the NHL, but that's not what you need. You need a guy who, you know, can back up your number one goalie. And I don't know if Levi can do that or if Levi wins the job. I know Lukanen can't. I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lukanen has to play a lot. And I think Levi is going to show us. He did it last year in Rochester where he played a lot. He was lights out. And then he came up here and I think he played 3 games in the middle of playing in Rochester and played all 3 of those games very well. Started 2 and I think came on in relief in another one. And so, you know, there, I don't think the two of them as a tandem is ever going to work just because I don't think either one of them can sit and watch the other play and stay sharp. We'll see. But Lukanen, the Montreal game I didn't put into this when I figured this out because he played the Montreal game hurt and wound up getting pulled.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 5 starts around that game, he has stopped 130 out of 136 shots. That's a .956 save percentage in 5 games.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. And I read that last year, towards the end of the season, he played more than any other goaltender in the NHL.
Mm.
And I thought he did very well with it, too. So, you know, and that's what you need. I mean, if you're going to – and it's – you know when that started? Right after I asked Lindy Ruff about the goaltenders, I said, I'm not blaming Lukanen because he's been okay, but do you think you need more big saves at the big time? And he said, absolutely. He goes, you're right. He hasn't been awful. He's not the reason we're losing. But sometimes you just need that big – we need more big saves at the big time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the next game, and I don't remember who it was against. It would have been the first one of these 5 that might have been Detroit, where he went out there and just made huge saves. And that's exactly what Lindy – and I asked Uko about it, and he agreed. He goes, he's not wrong. He's right. He goes, I do need to start making some big saves at bigger times. And he wasn't offended by it at all. He agreed with it and started doing it.
Yeah.
And now you see what it's been like in 5 of the last 6 games. And as I said, I didn't put the Montreal game in there. I know it happened, but he also was injured and got pulled after 40 minutes. That's why I didn't add that in there. This wouldn't look quite as good if you put the – it still would look pretty good.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be .956.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, this is what you need. And right now they're in a playoff spot, which is important because if you recall, how many times have we been sitting here at Thanksgiving going, well – yeah, they're only 8 points behind, but there's also 6 teams they got to leapfrog to get up there. And if it was 8 points behind and it's just you and the one team, that's not that big a deal when you're talking Thanksgiving time. But when you got to leapfrog 6 teams, that's when you wind into a problem. So, yeah, they're only .500, and everybody would be right if they were to say they're not going to make the playoffs at .500. You're right.
Right.
They're not.
Yeah.
But everybody is bunched right now. The New York Rangers are the only team that has taken off. They have the first wild card, and the Sabres are 6 points behind them. But then there's 3 points separating the second wild card position where the Sabres are and last place in the conference.
Yeah.
The Montreal Canadiens are in last place, 3 points out of the playoff spot the Buffalo Sabres sit in. And then there's Sabres, Islanders, Bruins, Flyers, Penguins, Senators, Blue Jackets, Red Wings, and Canadiens all bunched up within 3 points of each other.
Yeah, and it's funny too, Paul, because and it's kind of a nice segue into this next discussion that I want to have with you, just in terms of maybe the more surprising things going on with either the Sabres or how things are kind of playing out this year. And for anybody that wants to join us, 803-0550 is the number to join us. What happens to be the one thing that has surprised you most with the Sabres or the season overall, with the start of the season? Sabres are 19 games in, and as Paul mentioned, they are currently sitting in the final wild card spot with 19 points. They are tied with the New York Islanders and the Boston Bruins for that spot as well. They do have a game in hand on the Bruins, though, but I think, Paul, the thing that with this Sabres team and just overall in the league that has surprised me would just, yeah, they're 500 right now, and they have been so up and down, it feels like, in certain stretches of games already this year. And I mean, we're not even 20 games in. But this year is actually finally the first year, Paul. I think we're starting to see that whole they always make the claim of, oh, there's so much parity in this league. There's so much happening, and there's so many teams that are competing against one another. The thing I could test about that is you look at the standings over the last 3 to 5 years, and for the most part, it's the same teams that have been either in the playoffs or out of the playoffs, especially the last 2 years. The last two seasons, the top six of the NHL draft order has been the exact same teams, almost the exact same order. So I just, the one thing that really irks me is the talk of parity in the league and the talk of, well, oh, there's so much happening, there's so many competitive teams, and it's just, I don't want to hear that because that's just completely false. It's a false narrative that's being talked about in the league. Whereas now this year, it's like, okay, actually some of these teams are looking actually competitive. Some of these other teams are struggling, like the Bruins. I mean, they've already fired their head coach just 20 games into the season. And, you know, they're looking like they're finally starting to come down to earth a little bit. Pittsburgh continues to struggle, even though they have Sidney Crosby. They're talking about blowing things up there. And then you have teams like Ottawa and Detroit who are still struggling but could easily swing things around with just a couple of games. The Metropolitan's a juggernaut right now. And the Sabres are 2 points out of a top three spot in the Atlantic Division. So I think that's the biggest surprise for me. I don't know what maybe is the biggest surprise for you league-wide or with this Sabres team in particular, but I think just the general fact that the Sabres are still being talked about in this regard and not, you know, out of a playoff spot right now, and that could change obviously with a few losses here, you know, in a row, but right now at this point of the season, 19 games in, the Sabres are in a playoff spot right now. I think that surprises me, and how everything else kind of plays out surprises me as well with the Eastern Conference especially.
Well, they've done it twice now. What Lindy Ruff really got on them after, not this past loss, the loss before, where they hadn't just cut it off at one loss. Every loss turned into maybe two or maybe three. And as he told them, he goes, guys, all right, you're going to lose some games, but the good teams lose one and then they win the next game. They don't put, you know, they don't put into a streak. Sabres hadn't done that yet. Now they've done it twice in a row where after one loss, they went out and won the next game. And they are 5-2. I mean, that's the thing. You're 500 and you're in the playoffs right now, but somebody's going on a run very soon. And the Sabres are kind of on one. They've won 5 out of 7 games.
Right.
The thing that I find interesting is the people who are, you know, talking to me on Twitter are absolutely obsessed with the two losses and don't even talk about the 5 wins.
Yeah.
You know, it's the 5 wins don't mean anything to them. All they care about is these two losses in the last 7 games.
They're conference opponents, and the one happens to be a divisional opponent as well. That's probably why.
Yeah, but the problem is they're the Montreal Canadiens. They stink.
Yeah.
They're the last place team in the league. They're the Philadelphia Flyers. They stink. Well, the Philadelphia Flyers are only 1 point behind the Sabres.
Right.
And before people get all excited about, well, they're playing the Ducks. The Ducks stink. The Ducks have the same record the Sabres do. They're both 500. And the Ducks actually have been playing pretty well lately. You know, they have won 3 in a row and 4 out of 5. So maybe you thought they stunk, but so right now they don't. But That's what I find very interesting is the Sabres have gone on a bit of a run here to get themselves into a playoff position as of November 21st. Now, there's a long ways to go here, but they have to continue to do that. And that's what I think, you know, Lindy Ruff finally put the standings. I was waiting for him to do that. I kind of thought it would happen earlier. He finally put the standings up in the locker room. But that's what that's what they can show the team. That we've been very inconsistent for the season, and look where we are right now. We're right there. And imagine where we would be if we became the consistent team that, and this is Lindy Ruff talking, if we became the consistent team that we know we can be and that we have shown at times. You wouldn't be worried about the New York Islanders or the teams under you right now. And that's what the Sabres have done now. You know, they've gone on a bit of a run. They've won 5 out of 7.
Mm-hmm.
Teams do win hockey games, even when they're bad teams. And I guess I would just say don't obsess so much about two losses if your team wins 5 games around those two losses and wins games against the New York Rangers. Or the Los Angeles Kings are a good team.
Yep.
Believe it or not, the Calgary Flames are almost in first place in their division. They beat them.
It's nuts.
Some people thought Calgary's bad. Well, Calgary's sitting right there, almost in first place. They're right behind the Vegas Golden Knights. So they have beaten some good teams too. It's just playing more consistent hockey. If they play more consistent hockey, they're not going to have to worry about if they're playing a good team or a bad team.
Paul, looking through some of the responses that I put out there, both on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, as well as Blue Sky. Are you on Blue Sky, by the way, yet?
Come on, you know I'm old. maybe by the time Kulik retires, I'll get over there somewhere. Along there.
By the time Kulik retires. Oh, man, that's going to be a while. Put out just the big topic of the day, you know, what has surprised you with the start of the season for the Sabres. Kevin says, positive surprises. The acquisitions from the offseason have performed in excess of his expectations, Ryan McLeod and Jason Zucker especially. And then the negative surprises, and I think this has been quite prevalent, is Jack Quinn's play. Also, the play of Dylan Cousins has been brought up a couple of times. Cousins has played better recently, but certainly Jack Quinn, I think, is a surprise to many of us, just because even after he came back from his Achilles injury and then his ankle injury, it seemed like he was maybe a little slower on the ice as he's trying to work his way back, but it didn't seem like, at least with his thought process, his playmaking abilities, he didn't really miss a step. But so far through the 19 games this year, it has been a struggle. He's been riding the struggle bus hard.
He has, to a point where, you know, Roseanne was the leading scorer in Rochester. If I was Lindy Ruff, I think he's in and Quinn's out. And not because I'm mad at Quinn. If I'm the coach, it's just not working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like he's getting chance after chance after chance. He's not getting any scoring chances. And he has an elite shot. And you talked about last year, in 27 games, he was on a pace that would, I think, score 27 goals. He was on a pace almost to 30. So I was thinking, if he plays a lot, he's going to be on a 30-goal pace. He has not beaten a goaltender this year. He has one goal, and it was empty netter. And it's not like he's even coming close to beating a goaltender. Last night he did. He took an off-angle shot that I don't think Rittich thought he was going to take, and that almost went in. But it's very few and far between. Bulldog was talking about this with me yesterday, how he's noticing about Quinn comes into the zone and he stops and does the circle. That usually means players that do that usually have lost their confidence because they don't have the confidence to keep skating and take the puck to the net. They stop and look for somebody, and he does that a lot. And it just, I think the time has come where maybe it's time. I don't know if you can wait any longer for him to play out of it. I think it was good to give him the opportunity to try to play out of it, but he's had 18 games, and he just does not seem to be playing out of it at all. So I think I would give Roseanne a chance to get into the lineup and maybe do with Jack Quinn what you did with Henry Jokiharju. You know what? If Roseanne gets in the lineup and does well, Jack, you're going to have to wait your turn.
Yep.
And I agree. See what happens and see if maybe some practices or whatever. But I just think the waiting has to be over, and you've got an extra guy, use him.
803-0551, 888-552-550. Those are the numbers here if you want to get a hold of us. What has surprised you with this team through the start of the season, through the first 19 games? You can feel free and phone us up. Let us know what you think. Interact with both Paul and I on social media as well. We're going to take a quick timeout, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Rob Ray, who's in California enjoying himself. Sabres color analyst joining us next here as the Sabres will next get ready to face the Anaheim Ducks on Friday. Brayton Wilson joined with Paul Hamilton today, filling in for Sabres Live here on WGR.